Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome back to the Pot It Together podcast. I'm Nicole, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host Adam and Becca for episode 3. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
How y'all doing?
Hi. How y'all doing?
That was great.
I'm okay. Doing fantastic. Thank you.
Good. So, we are 3 weeks into January now, and I have a question for you guys. What are you guys watching right now? Because I don't have any weddings to shoot until March, and or April, rather, and I need some shows to watch. So, like, what are you watching, Adam?
The show that I'm... Well, it kind of just ended, season 2, but there's this... There's a show on HBO called His Dark Materials, which was based off of a book series written by Philip Pullman. And the reason I know all that is because when I was in Oxford, I had just finished Harry Potter, the seventh and final book came out. And I read it because I bought it right when it came out. And then one of the students at Oxford was like, oh, well, if you like the Harry Potter series, you would like this His Dark Materials series. And it was written by an author from Oxford. So it's a trilogy and I got it. It was not akin to Harry Potter, but it was still really good. And they actually filmed some of the movie scenes at some of the colleges that I was in and around. So that was cool. But the movie bombed. It had Nicole Kidman in it. Nobody probably remembers it. I do because I read the book, so I was really excited about it. Anyway, fast forward to last year, HBO picked it up as a series, and it has Lin-Manuel Miranda in it and a lot of other famous people, but I can't think of their names right now. And season 2 just ended, and it's so good. They're doing it justice because the first movie that they made of these books did not do it justice, but... it's doing really well. And yeah, I can't think. There's other things I've been watching. I've been really wanting to get into the show Bridgerton on Netflix because I keep seeing it.
Ooh, I saw that. I saw the ad for it on my Netflix. It looks good.
Yeah. So, But His Dark Materials, and I'm rewatching Veep because I love that show so much. And yeah, that's about it. That's about it on my watch list.
I'm going to have to check that out. What about you, Becca?
Okay, so Daniel and I watch a lot of shows. It's like what we do together. So we, like at the end of December, we finished season 2 of Cobra Kai on Netflix. It's basically like a Karate Kid reboot with all of them as adults. And it's a little cheesy sometimes, but for the most part, it's like a great story. And you get to hear like so much more about Johnny, who was like the bully in The Karate Kid, the blonde one. You just see more of his life. It's very interesting. And so that's really good. Season 3 is coming out. I think it's out right now. Obviously, it's out right now in January. This is like 3 weeks into January. And then The Queen's Gambit. Am I late?
Yes, that's good.
I'm on episode 3. I need to watch episode 3. I just finished episode 2. Have you watched it all, Adam?
I think I have a few episodes left.
Okay, okay.
I haven't started it yet, but it's on my list.
Okay, yeah, it's really good. It's really good. I love it. I love it. So there's that. And then we just finished watching season one of this show. It's called Upload on Prime Video. And it's like a sci-fi futuristic world where people don't like fully die, but they get basically they don't fully die and like go to heaven anymore traditionally. I mean, you could, but you like upload your consciousness to a database and you exist in this like hyper real like heaven, quote unquote. It was really interesting. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah, the storyline where like the guy and his girlfriend, like there was one part where like I don't think this is spoiling anything, but like he was worried that he was gonna have a life-threatening like situation, so he just went and uploaded himself, but really he wasn't going to die, and so then he basically like imprisoned himself.
Mm-hmm.
When he didn't need to. It was wild, but yeah, that was good.
Ooh, I want to see that one.
Yeah, it's a great show. I mean, the season finale was pretty anticlimactic and lame, but yeah, I'm excited for season two. So that's what I've been watching.
Very cool. Okay, so I just started The Crown season four. Do you guys watch The Crown?
Oh yeah,
like, you do.
I think I watched season four like in the two. It took me 2 days. Like as soon as it was released.
Oh really? Okay. Yeah.
I'm a stan for the royal family.
Okay, I'm so excited. Like I just started episode one today, so I'm excited to get through it. And I feel like it's going to be one of those shows. Like, I was secretly obsessed with Princess Diana. Like, I've watched every documentary on her. Like, I know way too much about her life than I probably should, living in the United States. But I, like, love her and everything about her. So I'm real. I feel like it's going to be one of those shows where if I have a full day, I'm just going to finish it, like, in a day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'm really excited about that. But I haven't been watching anything else. I was doing like a lot of like baking shows and like cooking shows through the holidays, and then obviously like some classic holiday movies, but definitely needed some new shows to watch. So I'm excited. I'm going to check those out that you guys mentioned. Sweet.
I know it might be a little too old school for Miss Becca, but did you see that Saved by the Bell rebooted with like the original cast?
I did. I was debating on whether or not to even check it out because it's not the old cast. I think there's only like two people from the old cast in it, right?
I think four or five.
Oh, okay.
Jesse, AC Slater, Zach, okay. And Kelly, I think.
Oh, they're all in it?
And then I think Lark Voorhees, Lisa comes back at some point. I think Screech is the only person not in the new.
Oh, Screech was fun.
Yeah, but he's a weird guy.
He was weird, yeah. And like, where is he? Like, where is Screech? Wasn't he in like a couple movies after that? And then like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't...
then he did like a porno.
Oh, no way!
Yeah, he did.
Oh, gross. Okay. yeah, I haven't. Have you checked it out? Is it worth checking out?
No, I haven't checked it out yet, but
okay.
I've been wanting to. I don't know.
Yeah. I always get weirded out because I'm like, oh, is it going to ruin it for me? Like they did that with Beverly Hills 90210, and I actually genuinely love what they did when they came back with it. So I'm like, oh, maybe I'll like it. Also, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air had a reunion. I think that's on Hulu?
HBO.
I haven't seen that yet. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I did. It was good. Okay. I didn't... You know, I used to watch that show all the time when I was younger, but it's funny because it felt like a different time because I just watched them when they came on TV. It wasn't like a season. Like, there wasn't an order. I just, like, whenever the show was on, I'd watch it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if it was just younger me not knowing, like, arcing storylines or mm-hmm. if I just didn't care, but I didn't realize all that drama went down with Vivian because they changed Vivian's after, like, season three.
So I haven't seen it yet, so don't spoil it for me.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm not going to spoil anything. But I didn't realize, like, I didn't even realize they had changed them just because,
yeah.
Like, it was just a show I watched whenever it came on, but it wasn't something that I was, like, full on paying attention to, I guess. Because, and I was also pretty young.
Yeah, we both were young.
But yeah, that was good. I mean, it's not really, like, a, it's basically the cast getting together and talking. It's not okay. like it's not a reboot as far as like there's not like episodes where they're in character.
Right, right. So they're just kind of like reminiscing.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, I want to see it. Will Smith is one of my favorites. So, and I like know every episode. Probably verbatim, it's sad because I watched them so much.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. So today's episode, we want to talk about some advice that we would give our beginner plant parent selves. So I think this is going to be interesting because I know all three of us we've learned so much along the way. And I think it'll be fun to kind of hear like what you would do different or, you know, what you would tell yourselves. Mm-hmm. So who wants to go first?
Well, should we set the scene? Like maybe tell the story of the first time we went to like a plant shop. Like after we decided like, I'm going to buy plants. Should we tell that story?
Yeah, yes. Actually, yeah. Well, the first time that I had any success with growing plants, it was a succulent, believe it or not, which was crazy. Some people don't believe that, but it's true. I grew a donkey tail for like 2 years successfully, and I pretty much just put it in a window. I don't even remember what direction facing window it was, but it was just a window because I didn't know about that back then. And I just pretty much ignored it. Like I would water it when it was dry and I would ignore it, and it just kept growing and growing. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll try growing plants. And I remember watching YouTube and like starting watching some people's channels and thinking like, oh man, they have such pretty collections. And I got inspired to just buy plants at that time. So I went to Home Depot, like big box store, of course, big box store, Home Depot. And I remember walking into the garden section feeling like I've never been in a big box store garden section before. Like, I feel like when you're not into plants, you don't see that. You don't recognize them. But when you're into plants, it's like, and you walk into a space that sells them, you're like, oh my gosh. Like, I felt like I was in a jungle in Home Depot garden center. So I think I bought a pothos because of course that's like your number one starter plant. I think it was a pothos. Yeah, I think it was. And I don't think I got anything else. And I just remember bringing it home and it was successful. Like I grew it. It was great. I don't think I still have that plant. No, I don't think I do. But I just remember like wanting to get more. So I would go to like big box stores every so often and just kind of look around. And I went to Lowe's garden center. And then I remember going to Walmart, and I never ever knew that Walmart sold plants either. So I was like shook by that. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think that was like my first experience was in a big box store plant shop, which is kind of sad because I think I would almost rather like have gone to a smaller shop, but I made my way there eventually, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think starting out, that's a bunch of people always ask me like if I was brand new to buying plants, like where would I shop? And honestly, I say big box store because the plants are a lot cheaper. It's not necessarily like a local business, which is obviously better. But if you kill something, it doesn't hurt as much because you paid like $10 for that plant as opposed to like $25. Plants from like smaller nurseries or just plant nurseries in general are usually better taken care of. So you might have better success. But I think, I don't know, I don't think that's a bad thing to start in a big box store. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
My first plant what started my journey, I mean, okay, so I don't feel like I had plants a lot. I think there's been moments in life, like when I moved to a new office that actually had windows, I was gifted a air plant. And I was like, oh, this will be fun. But that died very quickly in a dry Illinois office. But I was in Chicago and I went to Sprout. And that was probably like 2016, 2017. Mm-hmm. 2016. And Sprout was just such a cool like shop. I mean, you've been there, Nicole, like you know how neat it is. And I bought a what I know now is the prayer plant, but like the Marantaceae, Maranta, the one with like red in the leaves as well. and the purple backs.
Beautiful.
And then, yeah, I bought a pot with it, and then I wanted to buy a macrame plant hanger, and they were just made out of jute string. Like, they had on the shelf, and they were made out of jute string, but they were, like, $35. And Sprout is a high-end boutique.
It is.
I mean, they sell the experience, and the experience is wonderful. Like, you can buy your plant, pot it there, like, you can buy the soil, like, all of that. So I didn't buy the hanger, but I left that day from that plant shop thinking I can make that. And that's where I kind of started getting into plants. I started making macrame, which is not dude. That's where that comes from. And then I made some macrame hangers after learning how to do it. And then I needed more plants to fill them. But the prayer plant cracks me up because, you know, they move up and down. And I didn't know that as a new plant parent. And so every time I looked at it, it was like in a different position, and I thought it was dying, because at night it kind of folds up and is perky, and during the day it like folds down. But every time I saw it during the day, I was like, oh my gosh, it needs more water. So I would like be, I mean, it died. That plant didn't survive because I overwatered it.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, that was like the experience that sticks out in my head of like, I'm going to go buy a plant. And it was at Sprout. And it was such a cool store. I love that
place. It is a cool store.
Okay. For me, it started in a big box store as well, Nicole. We talked about in season one how a lot of my plants started from clippings. And hey, some clippings I did not ask for, which I know now is something that you don't do, but they were from people like family friends I was house sitting for. Anyway, so that was a lot of my plant start. But then when I, in the moment where I was like, oh my gosh, like I can keep plants alive, I had kept a basil plant alive for like a few months, and I was like, okay, I think I got this down. And so I went to Lowe's. The Lowe's by my house had like a pretty good selection, and I bought a little croton.
Oh, yes.
Oh, the croton.
Yeah.
The croton.
It's the one that has, like, the yellow dust on it. I think it's, like, the gold dust croton. And honestly, I hated that plant after a while. It didn't die. I just threw it away. I just, like, didn't like the way it looked eventually. And then I
just yeeted it.
Yeah. I did that a lot in my early plant journey. I just throw things away. I'm like, no. And then the other... Yeah. And then the other plant that I got that same day was a bird's nest Sansevieria. And they were like both like 4-inch pots, like little plants. Like I walked past the pothos and went to the croton. Like I did that and I will never forgive myself. I know. I didn't even think about pothos for a long time. And then another day I like stress bought a jade pothos. I thought it was a philodendron. Like it was a mess, but that was pretty much it. And I bought like little terracotta pots to go with it. And I painted the little terracotta pots like sky blue. And then I potted them up, likely in straight up Miracle-Gro potting mix.
Like, Miracle-Gro. Yes.
No additives, nothing. And
nothing.
That Sansevieria pulled through. I had that plant for a really long time. And then I moved and I just didn't want to take it with me. Like two moves ago. So, yeah.
I feel like we need to write a movie that's akin to Toy Story, but with plants. Like with all the plants that we're just like, I don't care about you anymore.
Oh, no. The Isle of Misfit Plants.
Yeah.
The plant that makes it to college.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, well, that's interesting. So let's start. Well, first of all, I want to say that when I was in Illinois, I work at a small bank, and it's in a small town, but it's closer to a bigger town with a Walmart. And every day during lunch, I would just drive to Walmart and look at their plants once I got into plants. And that's where I found a couple Cebu Blue.
Epipramnums.
That's where I got my variegated Hoya carnosa compacta for $10.
Wow. So variegated?
Like, yeah. Holy. Yeah.
Oh, that's so, right.
Yeah, so I would say don't sleep on those. I mean, obviously, I think people know that now, not to sleep on the big box stores, but
yeah,
sometimes you find a gem.
And yeah, in certain regions, they're, like, good. Good.
I mean,
good,
here good. Here in Arizona, we just had some scuttlebutt going around because they dropped a bunch of Albo Syngoniums and all of like the Lowe's here.
What?
And I don't know. I might have been a Costa Farms drop. I don't know. So I wasn't like, I already have one, so I wasn't running out to get it. But they were all over the Facebook plankers. People were like, oh, they're at this Lowe's, they're at this Lowe's. And everyone was buying them. And then people were posting memes about how stupid it is that people are excited about this plant, which annoys me. When people
so dumb.
Like, don't rain on a parade if someone's excited about it.
Yeah, come on. Especially it being at a big box store. Like, how much was it? I'm so curious.
I think that they were multiple stems. You know how those grow, like, very fast.
But oh, yeah.
There were multiple stems, and I think it was probably just, like, the $29, $30, probably.
That's so wild. Holy. Considering that people will pay, like, $100 or more for, like, one stem, that's wild.
Yeah. And they grow so quickly, but...
Yeah, they do.
That's just my experience. But what I wanted to talk about... sorry, I dropped my headphone. Was... let's talk about our soil journeys, because like when you brought up the Miracle-Gro, that's what I did first off. Miracle-Gro full, chock full of fungus gnat larvae, I'm sure.
can I interrupt
cesspool
you for a second?
Of larvae. Yeah.
Did you see Cody Happy Little Bush's story the other day? They were repotting their plant. And it had thrips in the soil. They bought a bag of soil and it had thrips in it.
Right, yeah. I did see.
How horrifying is that? So that instantly brought me back to the Miracle-Gro days. Because that's just, there's fungus gnats just growing in there.
Sure.
Let's talk about our soil journeys. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy that you said that. Okay, so when you guys first bought plants, did you just straight up buy like Miracle-Gro, or did you go like Fox Farm? Like, what was your go-to?
I did Miracle-Gro.
Yeah. So my first go around was Miracle-Gro at the store.
It's just because it was the cheapest and like easily accessible, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I had enough wits about me and research that I had done that to not get the moisture control Miracle-Gro.
Right.
I made sure to avoid that, but I got the houseplant mix or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I would get the cactus mix. Like, I felt like that was my safe go-to because it had more chunks in it. So I would use that for everything.
I didn't understand that the chunkiness need when I started either. Like, I didn't know that oxygen needed to be by the roots. So I was like, whatever. This is indoor houseplants. I'm buying it.
Yeah. I need to go back and look at my first YouTube video because I mixed soil in that video.
I did too. I was just going to say. YouTube.
Yeah, so I didn't even like pay attention to which Miracle-Gro soil I was buying. I think I just bought the potting mix that you would use in like raised flower beds because it was the cheapest. And I'd buy like a huge bag, and I would mix in activated charcoal chips, like charcoal. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the only thing I added in. Maybe I added like a little bit of perlite, but like day one buying plants, that Croton and the Sansevieria, straight up potting mix. But I think maybe it's like 6 months after that, I added in the activated charcoal just because I had it, because I tried to make a terrarium and failed really bad. So I was like, might as well use this. I'm sure it's good for soil.
I still fail at terrariums. Like, if I'm being real with myself, I can't do it.
Yeah.
They're difficult. But I need to go back and watch some of my earlier videos too that people still watch. Oh dear, dear, dear.
Oh,
but I would do half soil. Like, once I started watching more YouTube videos and educating myself a little more, I would do half Miracle-Gro like cactus mix and like half perlite. So like all of my plants after a few weeks had just perlite floating all at the top of the pot.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think after the house plant mix, I started buying just the organic potting soil, and then I would add in the bark, the activated charcoal, and the perlite. So then that's when I started like mixing my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I was like in the what do you want to call that? The thrust? No.
The throes.
The throes of like fungus gnats everywhere. Like, I couldn't sit on the couch, couldn't watch TV, I couldn't walk around without something trying to fly up my nose or into my eyeballs. And then that's when I switched to Fox Farm, because, you know, I heard about, everyone's like, oh yeah, don't buy Miracle-Gro. I switched to Fox Farm, but I still did additives to that soil. And I microwaved it because I went through and like did beneficial nematodes to all of my plants and it killed all the fungus gnats. And I was like, I'm never dealing with these MFers again. So I bought this nice soil, mixed it all up, and then like microwaved it. And
killed all the microbes.
Yeah. And you know, that video's still on my channel and people still comment. Like, I still get comments randomly like, how long did you microwave it for? And I don't usually reply to comments in, like, really old videos because I'm just like, okay. But every time someone comments that, I'm like, please don't do this anymore. I do not recommend microwaving your soil. Please don't do it.
Yeah. I said that in one of my videos, my fungus gnat video is probably, like, the top three most popular videos on my channel. And I did mention baking your soil. And I don't know. I still, like... Okay, microwaving and baking your soil, like, it's a means to an end, sure. Like, you'll get the results you want. It's just, like, we weren't thinking about, like, the microbial activity, which will not be present for a long time after you do that. So, like, it's not the worst thing you could do, but as a beginner.
You're going to kill the fungus gnats, but the plant's not going to get all it needs.
Yeah. Soil. Like, it kills every living thing. And also...
all good and all bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also in that video suggested mixing in hydrogen peroxide in your water, which I did that for so long and it got rid of fungus gnats so fast. And honestly, my plants were fine after that. But then I found out that that also kills, like, good and bad.
Does it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that. You just taught me that. I haven't done that in a while, but I had a video that I did. I actually think that I saw Harley G do it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to try this because the fungus gnats were, this was before my Lekka journey. And the fungus gnats were like, Jay, my husband, was like, okay, do something about this, you know, because I think we would deal with it because we know, like, it's just a fungus gnat, but like, he's like, do something. So I was on a mission and I think I saw one of her videos. And it does work. It really does, like, hydrogen peroxide and water works. But I didn't know it kills everything.
Yeah.
It kills all of it.
I think if I was having, like, a really bad infestation, I would absolutely do it again. No regrets. Because it got rid of them so fast. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not killing the larva, you're not going to get rid of them ever.
Right.
No,
ever.
Because
you're
That's
never
why
gonna...
I really loved the nematodes. Like, it worked so well. But it was a pain. It was not... You know, it was kind of a pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think in the spring, I'm going to release beneficials in my plant room and just keep it closed to my house and just let them fly around in there. I don't know if they actually fly around, but they probably just hang out on the plants. But I just imagine like a bunch of like bugs flying around.
Yeah.
But I'm going to release at least green lace wings. Yeah.
They're pretty.
Oh, they're so beautiful.
Yeah.
I think they're really pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to release those and ladybugs because, listen.
Yeah, ladybugs too. Like, those bugs don't bother me.
No.
At all.
Okay. Maybe this is a Midwest thing. Maybe both of you could. Wait, I just realized all three of us now have ties to the Midwest. Why did that not connect before? Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe I've realized that before, but it just came to me again. There's these ladybugs. I've heard that there's like mean ladybugs and good ladybugs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these ladybugs that are kind of like a paler red, like almost an orange color. And they have more dots. And they're bigger. Yeah. Are those the bad ones?
Yeah.
So I don't... Okay. You know more than me. I've heard that too, but I never really looked into it to like know.
They're like all over. And they get inside my house too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the deal?
Yeah,
what's the deal? I don't know. I've just always known that there was a different, it was like an imposter ladybug, and I think they called it something else, but I can't remember what the name was.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. But and they
I don't know what the deal is.
I
can't
have so
shed
many
light
of them.
On that.
Okay, I'll have to look it up. Imposter ladybug. I'll have to look it up later. Okay. Yeah, gross. But yeah, I want to try that this spring and see, because I had some spider mites issues when I first got here, which I was fully expecting because all my plants were touching each other. But I haven't seen anything in a couple weeks, and knock on wood, they're probably going to show up tomorrow. But yeah, I haven't seen much.
Welcome to 2021.
Yeah.
No spider mites in 2021. You're not welcome. I want to leave them in 2020.
So, now back, I still had a little part of my soil journey. But we all talked about... No, you're okay. You're okay, but let me talk right now, okay? No.
Okay. Are you done?
We all talked about perlite, which, I mean, is what we all used at the beginning. And it wasn't... I think it was when I moved to Arizona and I went to one of the nurseries here. They had vermiculite. Was it No, it was pumice. It was pumice. And it was a big bag of pumice. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to buy pumice because I just didn't like perlite. We all had it, you know, our experience with it of like, yeah, floaters. It gives air but they float. They float. And that drives me nuts. It just made me so mad.
It turns all yellow and like brown.
Ugh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let me try pumice. And I didn't even know anything about pumice. But then when I bought it and I went home and I researched, and a lot of people were like recommending pumice over perlite because the floating factor, it stays in place. It doesn't float to the top. And I've never went back from there. Like, I've just, like, I have a couple bags of perlite that I had bought way back when, and I moved here with them. And I don't know what to do with them now because I'm not going to use them, but they're just kind of sitting in the garage.
Bring them to a plant swap.
True. And I could probably propagate in them because I've seen a lot of people do the perlite propagate. But, yeah, so I've since, you know, moved to hummus.
Oh, I love hummus.
Yum.
Not daddy's hungry. But
not boy.
Yeah.
Not boy.
So it's soil's always been a little pain because I have like a tub or like a storage tub. Wait, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, it just got super quiet. I have a storage tub of like all of the ingredients that I mix to make my soil, and it's kind of a pain. But now the De La tanks is like,
yeah, go to.
I mean, I feel like I constantly am like, I'm promoing for you, and that's not even intended. Like, none of this is intended. But seriously, it's a one stop shop. I need to get I need to get back to Sagebrush and get another bag because I've already used the whole bag.
You're so lucky you live somewhere that sells it. Listen, Plant Shop Chicago, Ozzy, if you're listening to our podcast, please pick up the De La Tinks soil.
Please.
I'll just buy it all from you. Like, seriously.
I have a bunch of shops that I need to email about getting it into their shops. Like, people have been giving me recommendations and I'm saving all of them. I just needed to gather a little bit more information. But if you're waiting for the soil to be stocked near you, it might be. I mean, it's up to the shop. It's very expensive to ship it, I'm not going to lie. So it's really up to the shop and like what they're willing to invest. But I think I agree. It's a great soil.
Yeah, it is. It and really you don't is. Have any in Chicago, right?
No, no places in Chicago. There is a place in Missouri. It's called Vintage Hill. It's like 45 minutes away from me. I think it's in like Franklin, Missouri.
Okay.
They're carrying it and I need to go visit. I think I want to go there this weekend and go see them. But yeah, so other than that, we don't have anywhere else as of right now. But it's really because of the cost to ship it. It's very expensive.
Yeah.
But you could buy it on Amazon or you can contact Tanks directly if you don't want to buy through Amazon. They totally understand. It's just easy to set up an e-commerce through Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, and it's their first time doing something like that. So anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. De La Tanks soil is just, it's so easy. And you know, with the pumice thing, like, cause I did do my research after noticing like my perlite was just, cause once it hits the air, it just, I don't know what happens. Like, does it oxidize or something? I don't know, but it turns brown and just nasty and it just looks so gross. So I read about pumice but you cannot get pumice anywhere in the city, like in Chicago. No, like I had to look it up on Amazon because like Home Depot, Lowe's, like none of those places carry it. And
no, yeah, the
shops,
big box stores don't. Yeah.
Yeah. And the smaller shops, it's expensive. So I would have to like get it through Amazon. It was just too expensive. So
yeah,
I ended up.
I'm going to send you a link to this shop on Instagram. They sell, they specialize in pumice. I'll send you their information.
I mean, you can, but I only use De La Tanks now, so.
Oh, that's.
But you can still send it.
Never mind.
But I do. I did find this, this Bonsai Jack, which is like a lava stone, which I guess is kind of similar to what pumice is. And
I mean,
it
yeah,
does, right?
In pond substrate, like, I don't want to say Lachuza Pond because that's a brand, almost like saying Band-Aid, but pond substrate, they use lava rock, mixed, okay, like smaller lava rock. So that would serve the same purpose, I think.
Yeah. So like recently I had to repot some cacti and I didn't have any De La Tanks. So I had like a little bit of soil. I had a big ass bag of perlite and I was just like, oh God. But then I like mixed it with the lava stone and it did its purpose, but... Those are going to get repotted soon.
Adam, my lotion just made a fart sound and it wasn't me. I just want you to know it was the lotion. I don't know if you were going to hear it in the recording.
She's lubing up again.
I did not just fart, okay? Okay. It was a legit fart sound. I'm shocked you guys didn't hear it.
That's hilarious. I didn't.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Okay, yeah, pawn is just a thing, isn't it? Maybe I'd be willing to try pawn. No, I'm not into soil substitutes.
Yeah.
I'm not into it. It's not for me.
That's okay.
No, that's fine, yeah.
It's not for me. We talked about that last week, though. Yeah. How about the subject of watering as beginners? I like going through this subject by subject rather than me being like, giving a list of tips like yeah, this is a better format for yeah. it yeah. So how about watering?
That's like a good topic.
Yeah, what was your early watering like? What did you do?
Oh man,
back when we had manageable collections.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because when I first started, like right before, even before my YouTube channel, I got a water meter, you know, the one everyone has that's like $7 on Amazon.
Still use and it. I still use it.
Do not, you still not even use ashamed. It?
Yes.
I use mine still. Okay. So.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. Well, then I'm going to sound stupid. But anyway, so I used it and then like I used it for a while and because it works, it doesn't not work. But and it's so much better than like the finger method and like sticking your finger in the soil.
I hate getting my
but
hands
then I
dirty.
Just. Yeah, but then I just started noticing, like, I got to know my plants that were in soil and, like, the weight of the pot, and it was just so much easier for me to just pick up the pot and, like, okay, I know this needs water, you know?
When I first started and someone said, like, oh, I can recognize how if my plant needs water just by the weight of the pot, I was like, you are effing crazy. Like, who could ever do that? And now I'm like, oh, yeah, this needs water just by, like, holding it up.
Right.
Same.
Or looking at the leaves and they're all wrinkly. It's like, yeah, you need a drink.
It's crazy like how well you can train your mind to like and your hands and like just to like know those things. Like how many times do you have to pick up a plant before you start to recognize that type of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was like a year and a half in before I noticed something like that, like by the weight of the pot. I don't have a date, but like it took a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a date. It was October 3rd.
At noon.
It was then that I knew. Yeah, I do still use my moisture meter. Like, I use it specifically in seasonal changes because that's usually when I have the most, I guess, questions with watering. Because I do water based on how the plant is acting, but sometimes it just, like, is still confusing for me depending on the plant. So especially, like, in the beginnings of winter, I'm like, I feel like I should be watering that plant, but let me just check. You know what I mean? Like, before I water it, I check with the moisture meter because I hate giving my plants root rot, and I've done it a few times.
Yeah, maybe I should bust out my moisture meter considering my cacti aren't doing that well right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might. I don't
correlation.
Know, it might help. And then also, like, coming back from winter into spring when they start growing again and need more, I'm so bad at keeping up. So the moisture meter helps that too, so that I can just be aware. I just keep it by my sink.
I got the moisture meter because I had a fiddle leaf fig, you know, as we all do when we start our plant journeys, those big, beautiful leaves. And that's when I realized that plants didn't want to sit in moist soil, like, all the time. Honestly, like, I didn't know any of that. And I kind of felt stupid about it, but not really, because we all start somewhere. But when I learned that the fiddle leaf fig, you needed to let dry all the way through, it was a big pot. And I was like, well, there's no way that I'm going to jam my hand all the way down to the bottom of this pot.
Yeah.
So that's why I got the moisture meter, because I needed to make sure that it was dry all the way down before I started using it or started watering it. But before that, like, I would just, like, maybe every day, every other day, like, give the plant some water. I mean, I killed so many plants. Like, I drowned them all because I was just like, oh, this one needs water. I didn't water it yesterday, so I'm going to water it today.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Oh, man.
Do you guys ever use the pH thing on there?
No. Mine doesn't have a pH on it.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Yours does, right, Adam?
Mine's like a pH and light meter and moisture meter, but no, I just use the moisture.
Okay, me too.
I've never looked at the pH of my soil. And, like, after talking to Shota I was not very close to my mic. That might have sounded bad. But after I started talking to Shota and people asked about pH, he was like, it's really not a big deal unless you're doing, like, some hardcore outdoor gardening. But, like, with your houseplants, it's, like, not a big deal. And I was like, okay, good.
Oh, really?
One less thing to worry about for me. But
yeah, for real.
Unless you're doing LECA in passive hydro, then you need to make sure you monitor that pH, because too acidic will hurt your plants and too basic will not give them nutrients.
Okay, you know what I was just thinking? So I talked about how I had killed in my plant funeral video that went up, like, in December. I talked about how this pothos that I had in water, it just died one day. And I was like, what the heck? Like, it was getting it was getting root rot a lot. Do you think that might be because the pH was off in the water?
Possibly, yeah.
Oh, I am shook. So do you think if someone has plants in water full time, they should be monitoring their pH?
Oh, yeah.
They should. Because water, like, even in the city, like, even where I'm at, like, we have a really good water system in the city in Chicago. And even so, like, I'll test it when, like, every few months when I'm doing, like, a LECA flush or something, I'll test it and it'll be off than it was, like, a few months before. Like, it changes with the seasons, I think. I don't know.
Okay, because I could not figure out why it was getting root rot, because it was just in water. And it was very sudden. That's so funny. Okay, so how do you balance your pH then? I don't think we talked about this last episode.
I don't think so, but there's a kit you can buy on Amazon, and it's Adam's got it linked in his store. I don't think it's in my store, but it's pretty much a pH up and down kit, so you can test to see, like, where the levels are, and it's pretty easy to test.
I'm trying to think of which one I always use. Was it just down? It was just down. I never used up,
because
it always because the higher number is basic, right? 7 is neutral. higher than 7 is basic and lower than 7 is acidic. So basically, I was always putting acid into the water because it was always basic.
Ours is too.
So I was always having to add some... Well, I mean, it's basically acid, I think, you're adding into your water. A couple drops.
I'm not sure what it is.
Because it needed to be between 5.5 and 6 is where I like to keep mine when I start.
That's what I was going to ask. What's the ideal? 5.5 and 6 between there?
Yeah.
For your plants. Mine. Okay.
It's fun to get those kits too. Like, even if you don't have plants, if you're just testing your water, like to see... Like the alkaline in your water, we were buying, like a bunch of different water bottles from the stores to see, because there was this thing going around like saying that like Dasani from, I don't know if this is true, guys, so take this with a grain of salt, but Dasani water like from McDonald's had like stuff in it and it wasn't. You know, like it was bad for you. And I was
whole thing about Dasani actually like having stuff in their water to make you more thirsty. Like it actually was worse for you than actually.
Oh my gosh. It does have a strange flavor. I wonder if that's why.
Yeah, I don't
know. I've never had the issues with Dasani, but a lot of people say it tastes weird and it's salty and all of the stuff.
Yeah. So Jay was buying this water. We were buying it from Costco because it was a higher alkaline, or so it said. It said it was like 9 to 10%, or not percent, but like a 9 or 10 alkaline level. And we tested it and it was at like a 4. It was ridiculously off. Yeah. I think I saved the pictures because I was going to do this rant on Instagram and I never did it. Maybe I'll go we'll circle back to that and out some companies.
Nicole's Instagram rants are like everything. If you don't follow her,
just
it's
have
just
your
very
finger
funny.
Ready to just hold on the screen so it just stays there so you can read the entire paragraph.
Yeah,
I write paragraphs.
It's super funny.
Okay, so what's the next major thing? Light.
Let's.
Oh, you didn't.
I didn't say my little bit. Well, it's the same as yours, pretty much. So no need. Go ahead.
No, go.
I'm sorry.
I thought we were.
I
want to
hear it coming
from
your mouth hole.
Yeah. Well, early watering. No, I don't have anything new to add. I want to move on.
Oh. Okay.
Cut this out. I sound like a brat.
So we. No, you don't. So we all basically drowned our plants when we started.
Pretty much. And I
mean,
might still be doing it.
Nicole, I don't know if I can even say that about you, because. How do you frickin' start with a donkey tail and have it survive still?
Honestly.
Well, that's true. I still have it.
I bought one early on and I like breathed on it and it dropped 18 leaves and I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. I think early on I still am an underwaterer, but like I'm an underwaterer because I don't want to overwater. And like sometimes that's also pretty bad, you know, like there's underwatering a plant and then you can underwater it to the point of like giving it root rot and stuff like that, which I have done a lot. So that is still an issue for me, honestly. But
I think that's the hardest battle with cactus, too.
Yeah.
Because it's like you try so hard not to give it too much water that if you give it too little water, it rots like my booby cactus.
Yeah, because the roots shrink. Someone commented that on a root rot video. And I honestly never, ever thought about that. Like, I talked about my philodendron mame getting root rot, which, by the way, it's now just a stub. It's like...
Put it in a grow box.
Yeah. I know. It's
cookie jar it.
I need to seal it. So it's full cookie jar. But I have it
in
like a
cookie jar.
Yeah. I have it in a bunch of spag currently. In my greenhouse, which is not that humid, but anyway, it's holding on. But someone commented and said, you know, if you didn't overwater it, but your roots are rotted, you probably severely underwatered it so that when it went to take up the water, the roots weren't big enough. So
do the roots, when you underwater, do the roots just kind of break off and like disintegrate into the soil? Or do they feed the plant as much as they can and like end up dying off?
They like shrink and die because they can't soak
they
up
shrivel.
That's basically what they do, which that's the type of root rot I see a lot. There's only one time I've gotten root rot from overwatering a plant, I think, and that was a pothos. But other than that, I think it's all been because I underwatered, which is, like, that's the reason I wanted to underwater them so they wouldn't get root rot, and then they still got root rot. So it's a delicate balance that you have to learn over time. Like, with all of these things, like, you're not going to know all these things right away. No matter how much YouTube, podcast, Google searches you consume, like, you will always make those beginner mistakes.
Yeah.
Unless you're, like, one of those people that comments on our YouTube videos and is like, I've never done this, and I've never killed a plant, and I've been collecting for 40 years. And I'm like, awesome, Glenda. Get out. That's just a fake
also,
name.
Also, if your name is Glenda, that's okay.
Yeah, it's not you. Not you, Glenda. I don't know if there's a Glenda who comments on my channel often. I don't remember, but yeah. But there, I have gotten comments where people are like, I've never killed a plant in 20 years. And I'm like, good for you.
Yeah.
Bye. Like, you're lying to yourself. Just like me saying I never had pests, but okay. Lighting. Let's talk about lighting.
Ooh, lighting. Lighting's a particularly touchy subject for me. Your girl just got lights like a few months ago. Mm-hmm. My plants have been living in the dark for years.
No, yeah. Not really.
And your cactus collection is just so lovely, though. I'm, like, shocked that you've never had them before and your cactus look like they do.
In the Midwest, yeah. For sure, yeah.
I've just tried to keep them in, like, the strongest, sunniest window possible. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when I started, I felt like I could just, like, open up the curtains for, like, a couple of hours, like, after I got home from work or whatever, and then that was enough that I needed. Like, that, oh, well, they got a couple hours of sun, and I'm just like, gah. I just look back and think about those days, and I'm just like, well, I'm so dumb.
Yeah. You're
cut,
not.
Cut to now, my windows are always, like, shades are all the way up. There is no curtains, and it's just, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you get all of the light.
Same. Yeah.
I think when I first started, though, I had this idea, it might have been with that pothos, that, like, putting, like, your plant in, like, giving it too much light can hurt it, like, and can cause sunburn, like, even in the window, which is technically true, but in a place like Chicago, we rarely have to worry about stuff like that. Like, even in the dead of the summer, it doesn't get that hot. But yeah, like, I was the same way. I didn't think that they needed half as much light as they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There obviously are some plants that can survive without sunlight on them direct. Like, okay, they need light. But, like, I had an Aglaonema on my desk at work. I had a north window, but it was, like, 5 feet from the north window, and it was under fluorescent lights all day long because I was working. And it was just thriving and living its best life. Like, but that's, you know, something I had to learn throughout. Like, okay, well, these plants can take that and these plants can't, kind of thing.
Yeah. I think for me it was, like, I never had plants too far away from the windows because I thought they all needed, like, a ton of light. Because I was, like, comparing it to, like, outdoor gardening. And I knew that they wouldn't be happy in full sun, but at the same time, like, a lot of my early plant journey was, like, huddling as many plants as I could around the windows. And I've come more to a place now where I'm like, okay, this plant is okay to be, like, 5 feet away from an east window that's really bright, you know? So that was really a turning point. But for a long time, my windowsills were just, like, filled, like, saucer to saucer with plants, which,
yeah,
it really overwhelmed me quite a bit. Like, I did not like that. I did not like feeling cluttered around the windows because that's, like, your opening to the outside. You know, you don't want that to be, like, well, for me personally, I didn't want it to be, like, not able to look outside because there were so many plants inside against the window. So I still struggle with that a little bit, honestly. But,
well, like, you see people like Summer Rain Oaks and, like, even Nick Pelleggi, where, like, literally, like, there's just plants just, like, everywhere, and I'm just like, I don't understand how you know when to water. I don't understand how you know, like, but you know they do. It's kind of like us. We've, like, learned our plants and their habits and what they need.
But
they're just like covering every inch of their place. Yeah. Both of them.
Yeah. And Amanda Lee Wright on Instagram too.
Amanda Ray Wright.
Yeah. Her house is filled all over.
Can we just talk about it? I don't say this all the time. I just want to move in with her. Yeah, she has plants all over the place. And for the most part, like, her plants do get a lot of light. Like, a lot of her plants are in her living room and, like, her kitchen.
Yeah.
But she has stuff, like, pulled away from the window. And, like, the aesthetic is just so pretty. Yeah. But, I mean, if we're talking about Sansevieria and, like, snake plants, or I'm sorry, Dracaena. or, you know, ZZ plants, like stuff like that, like they don't need to be in windows. They really don't. Which is nice because those are pretty prolific plants. So like to put those like on a dresser away from a window or something, like we have plants in our basement that are doing totally fine without a lot of light, you know?
Yeah. So your house is two levels, Nicole?
Yeah, we have our main level and then the basement.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, lighting is just such a strange thing. I think once I learned about the specific exposures from each type of window, that really helped a lot. And a local nursery actually had this chart in the houseplant section that had like north windows and like a bunch of plants that'd be good in north windows and south. For each window, they had like a list and they had a lot of the plants on the list. And I was like, this is so helpful. That chart, yeah. I took a picture of it and I like studied it. It helped so much.
It's hard when you're starting because you have like all of the plants are like medium indirect or bright indirect. And you're like, what the hell does all this mean? And I saw someone talk about a shadow in their hand. So, like, they put their hand in the light. And if the shadow was, like, very, like, hard-lined, no feathering, that's direct light. And then if you had a little bit of feathering where it's, like, a softer on the edges, that's, like, you know, bright indirect light. And that kind of really helped me figure out lighting situations in my own home when I was starting. Because I'm pretty sure I put some plants in direct sun that should not have been in direct sun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of experimenting and observation. You have to be observative. That's not
observant.
Observant. Thank you. Yeah, you have to be observant. What other topics? Like fertilizing. I didn't fertilize in the beginning at all. Not at all.
Yeah, I did, but my fertilizing consisted of Miracle-Gro. And like it was like the one all be all for every single plant. Same thing for every plant because no plant's different. So I just gave every plant the same thing at the wrong time of the year, I'm sure. But at least they got it.
To say like even if you're doing that and even if someone listening to this is doing that, like at least you're giving some fertilizer to your plant. So like don't be too hard on yourself. But I was kind of the same way. Those blue granules from Miracle-Gro that you just like put in your watering can and let dissolve. That's what I was using. Yeah.
I was using the poor stuff, like the liquid stuff.
Yeah. Eventually when I got fertilizer, like, I don't know, six months in or whatever, I got like a big jug of like the liquid all-purpose Miracle-Gro fertilizer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
there's a really good. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say there's a really good episode that Summer Rain Oaks has on all the different types of fertilizers on her YouTube channel where she goes into depth about like what all the numbers mean. And like she makes it very easy to understand and it simplifies it. So it makes it less scary. So go check that out if you haven't seen that already.
Yeah. Fertilizer can be a bit intimidating at first, but I think like one of the bigger decisions to make in fertilizing is like synthetic or organic. And, you know, whichever you prefer. I think that I prefer organic personally. because it's a little bit less prone to like burn your plants if you make a mistake on ratios, because that's something that a lot of people experience as a beginner is like fertilizer burn. And yeah, organic fertilizer is just a lot harder to burn your plant.
How long do you guys know this? Maybe you do, Becca, from talking to Shota, but like how long after you purchase like fresh soil does it take for those nutrients to just, for the plant to soak up all those nutrients? Like how long after repotting your plant in new soil would you need to fertilize it?
I don't think that I asked him that question, but that's a good question. I would think like 1 to 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Like after a few waters.
Yeah. Because you're not supposed to fertilize a plant right when you buy it, right when you repot it.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually see people like, oh, you know, a month after you repot, you can start fertilizing. That's what I've read online. Okay. But I think I wait like 3-ish.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Okay, so before we take off, I want to know moments in your plant parenthood that you were just like amazed and you were like, I didn't know this was a thing and I'm so excited, and it kind of changed your view on like plants. Because I have a few that I'm thinking of like that where I was just like blown away.
Okay, I'm going to go first. So I think for me, propagating plants, that's not something I came across online like right away until I already had a significant plant collection. And then when I saw that you could propagate plants, I was like, wait, I didn't even know what that meant, first off. And I was I don't know, for some reason, I always thought that plants, like all those plants had to have been grown from seed. Like that was my initial thinking behind it. And when I heard that you can just literally chop and prop a plant and like where nodes were and like what that was and all that, it blew my mind. Like blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think I had a cutting of this Monstera, like my, you know, the Monstera that I grew from a tiny leaf. The person's plant that I took the cutting off of, a family friend again, but
not a nursery.
It was just like so scraggly and did not look like a Monstera at all. It actually looked like a pothos because it was like vining. And I took the cutting and I did some research and found out it was a Monstera and I was like, whoa. And then I planted it. Somehow I took the cutting in the right place. I don't know how that happened. And it grew a root.
Pure luck.
Yeah, honestly, pure luck. There's no other reason. I had no idea where to cut the plant. I know that for sure. But it started growing another leaf. Like when it grew that second leaf, like my mind was, when I tell you my mind was blown, I cannot even describe the excitement that I was feeling in that moment because I had never known that like similar to what Nicole said, like I had no idea that that would happen. I thought I was just going to have this one leaf forever. And then mm-hmm. like a few days after I potted it up, it starts pushing out a new leaf. Like I was so freaked,
so cool.
Like freaked out in a good way.
Yeah.
What about you, Adam?
I mean, for me, it definitely was propagating too. Like when I learned that you could propagate a plant in water, I was like, my mind was blown. And then when I learned you could just put a succulent leaf in, in soil and it would grow roots and then start a whole new plant, I was just like,
that's like, pretty it was cool. Just,
yeah.
It is cool.
To see like a tiny little succulent developing on the end of a succulent leaf is like, I don't know. And I'm not even that into succulents, but I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. But I think before I had learned to take care of plants, before I had learned to like curate and like nurture them, I bought plants that were pretty, but they just were on the decline. Like it literally was like the best day that they had in my life was when I brought them home, and then it just like slowly declined after that because of the watering and the light and all of that. So when I had a plant put out a first new leaf, like Becca just said, I was blown away. And I think it was that Maranta, even though I was slowly drowning it, like those leaves come out and they're kind of like circular and curled
yeah,
before
like
they like,
tubes.
Yeah, like little tubes. Yeah. And as soon as I saw that happening, like, that's when, like, the relationship started and it hasn't stopped, because those plant, like, that was, like, that just filled me with joy. You know, and I'm not and I'm not a parent to, like, human children, but I've said this before, and I think I've said this on the podcast, but, like, it was, to me, like, the proudness I felt was just, like, how a parent would feel when their kid did something amazing. Like, it was just, I don't know.
I think what you said was, didn't pick their nose and wipe their boogers on the couch.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's what you...
Yeah, and they decided to just put it in a Kleenex.
Put it in the Kleenex, wow. Like a normal human.
But, yeah. But it's been a journey. It's been a huge journey for all of us. Like, we started years ago, and I don't know. It's kind of cool to, like, look back and see. Although I do get cringy when people watch old videos. I'm like, please don't do that.
Yeah,
I know. I thought about doing a series, like, on my YouTube channel about, like, me rewatching all my old videos and, like, making that a thing. And I'm like, do I really want to put myself through that? Because we did a collab video like that, and which was a lot of fun because we were together.
Yeah.
But, like, sitting in a room by myself, listening to my old self talk about plants and not know what I'm talking about. Ooh.
Well, Becca, you did that for a hot second, too. With
Yeah. Like, oh, I have a previously on De La Plants series, which I would like to bring back an episode or two. But it's... like, a lot of my early videos, I wasn't, like, giving instruction. I was just showing what I was doing, and it oftentimes was, like, missing information or just not super informative. So it's helpful to go back and edit, but cringe. Very cringe.
Yeah. But, I mean, if we didn't do it, we wouldn't be where we are now. Like, we all started there. We all started there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. Like, we could do an entire other episode about, like, content creation. Like, being a
newbie. Yeah, that would be being fun. A newbie. I think someone requested that.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a few episode requests surrounding stuff like that, and maybe we could do, like, a bonus episode or something. But, yeah, I think there's just... it's just a sign that you're growing. Like, cringing at your old self, honestly, is a good thing because it means that you've grown. Like, just on a personal level, some of the things that I used to say, like, I'm horrified. And if it ever surfaced, I would be mortified. Like, I don't ever, you know, like, growing up in my small little bubble, you just say and do things that you don't once you've learned more about the world. So... you're growing, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yep. For sure. And recognizing that, like, you now know plants need light, or you now know plants need food is a good thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or you now know to put the damn watering can down because you're drowning.
Use your moisture meter.
Yeah, the plants are dying. Yeah, and, like, the plant isn't just dying randomly. It got spider mites, and you're too silly to notice. That's mine. That's my big takeaway. We didn't talk about pests, but, like, realizing that pests were a thing was probably the worst day of my life. And, you know, I used to see people, like, I was thinking about this a few days ago. There was this person on Instagram I still follow her, but she had spider mites on a plant. This was, like, maybe, like, a couple months into my plant journey, and I was like, what's this? And she completely took all the soil off of the roots and soaked it in a bath, the whole plant, leaves, roots.
Whoa.
Sometimes they wouldn't even remove all the soil. They would just take it out of the pot and, like, soak it in a bath when they found out it had spider mites.
Does that work?
I haven't seen her do it again.
You're drowning it.
I mean, it would work. I mean, people have done that for, like, bad mealybug infestations, a dunk.
Yeah.
I do that sometimes when I buy new plants and bring them in. I just, like...
What are you dunking
give them
in?
A dunk. Captain Jack's dead bug brew.
Is it, like, a concentrate and you put water? So you don't just, like, straight up put that, because it'd have to be a big bucket.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a concentrate, right? Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't hurt, like, to do a dip in some... Bonide 8 or some Captain Jack's. Yeah.
You know, we should do a whole other episode on this because
sorry.
I'm sure but on bugs. We totally should because I guess oh man.
We could
I mean the video where I dunked my entire Bishop's cap cactus into alcohol.
Rubbing alcohol straight up.
Straight up rubbing alcohol. I was done. It was covered in mealybugs. So there was no Q-tipping that. No. You know?
No. That's wild. Mealybugs just like pop up. But yeah, we should save this.
Overnight.
We should save a pest one. Like we could do maybe a pest Q&A or something.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Let us know. Let us know on Instagram if you want to see that. Comment on our post from today. If you want to see a pest video or pest.
Because we've all had a very like wide range of pests. So we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I feel jaded now by certain plants that like whenever I see like the excitement, like my friend Jessica is getting into plants and she bought like some Calathea. And as soon as she like sent me pictures, she's like, oh, this is a new plant I got. I was like, that's going to die. So just like. And I feel mean because, like, she was so excited about it, and they're beautiful, but I'm just like, well, you're going to get spider mites, and everything's going to get infected, and you're just going to hate life. So have fun with your new plant.
Yeah. Start planning the funeral now, Jessica.
Yeah, yeah pretty much. Yeah, the only Calathea that I've kept alive is not even a Calathea. It's a Gaperchia or something like that, I found out.
Yeah.
So that explains why I've kept it alive. So.
Yeah. The Orbifolia.
Yep, we love my
really? Wait, the Orbifolia is not a Calathea?
Yeah, and no, neither is the Musaica.
Yeah, they've been reclassified to the Gaperchia.
Oh, you know this reclassification shit.
And apparently that happened like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, someone...
Great, because I've been saying that like my Calathea Musaica, she's in the trash.
Me too. That's how I felt. Oh. I was like, yeah, it was reclassified anyway. My Calathea... But
anyway,
yeah. Okay, well, I think that covers it all.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, if you are a beginner plant parent or not a beginner, whatever, I hope there's some nugget of information here for you. And yeah, just try again, because we all learn and we all grow and we all make mistakes, but that shouldn't stop you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's definitely plants are very much a hands-on experience. Like, I feel like you can do all the YouTube searching and like reading, and yeah, you'll get information from that, but like until you own a plant and have plants in your care, like, are you gonna know truly how to care for them? Mm-hmm. It's like photography, you know, you could go to school for photography, but if you don't own a camera, you're not gonna know how to use that thing, you know?
Very true.
Okay, so thank you so much, guys, for joining us in today's episode. Again, be sure you're following us on Instagram, where we post when these episodes go up. We also post a post where you can converse with us. I can't talk today. We love interacting with you guys over on Instagram, so be sure to check that out. And don't forget to go check us out on YouTube, where we have some collabs going on over there.
Yay!
Yeah. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.